broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. From Boots to Biz Radio, sharing helpful information and practical insight about the franchise industry for the military veteran entrepreneur. Now, here's your host, Bill Williams.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to From Boots to Biz Radio, where we are dedicated to promoting franchise ownership among military veterans, military spouses, and first responders. Kevin Finn is over here. Wave at the camera, Kevin, like you always do.
Hey, hey,
good,
hey.
Good. Our co-host and producer. And we've got a, you know, I've been excited about this show for several weeks since
talking about it.
Yes, indeed. So I'm gonna jump right into the introduction here, you know, and we could talk about your golf game later, I guess. But
exactly.
Okay. Well, today we have the team of Stars and Stripes with us, Glenn Spears and Roger Wise. Glenn and Roger talk to students and civic groups as the Stars and Stripes group or team to inspire others to personal achievement, patriotism, military service, and participating in civic activities of all kinds. The Stars refers to Glenn's career in the United States Air Force, reaching the rank of Lieutenant General. The Stripes refers to Roger's service in the enlisted ranks of the United States Army Medical Corps during a slightly earlier era, right?
Yes.
But individually and together as Stars and Stripes, Roger and Glenn represent an outstanding example of citizenship, service, and personal achievement. So, gentlemen, thank you for being here, and you know, welcome to our show.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, Bill, thanks very much for allowing us to be on your show.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're really pleased to have you. Glenn, I'm going to let you lead off here. 33 years in the Air Force, active duty, correct?
33 great years.
33 great years.
I really enjoyed being part of your Air Force.
Okay. Yes, indeed. And graduated the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs.
Yep.
78. And I remember 78. You remember 78, Roger?
I slightly remember 78.
So now you're an independent business owner and in the consulting game, okay? And, you know, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
Today and for the last 2 years since I retired from active duty service, I provide business development consulting services. I provide creative, confidential, and successful business development solutions focused principally on the aerospace industry, but also now expanding into IT and other areas.
And it's been a transition, I'm sure.
It has been. Ask my bride, and I think she's the better judge of that.
Yeah.
But it's been very exciting.
So, well, I remember when I first left the corporate world, you know, and started off into consulting, and one of my colleagues called, I'd been in it at 2 or 3 months, and my colleagues called me one day and said, well, how are you doing? And I said, okay, well, why? And she said, well, you used to be VP, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah. And she said, well, when you called, you know, people, they called you back, right? Yeah. And when you sent an email or something, you got a response, right? I said, yeah. How's that going for you lately? You know, so, different game, right? So I imagine, it's kind of the same thing. You're in a different ball game.
That's right. It's a very similar transition. But to be frank, I'm kind of getting used to people ignoring me. and part of it is, since I did have the opportunity to serve at a senior grade, mm-hmm. is to expand into areas and to move into opportunities that I didn't have the chance to do while I was serving.
Well, that's great. Well, tell us about the challenges of transitioning from the service into the private sector.
Without doubt, Bill, it is a challenge. But it's one that anyone and everyone can be successful at meeting that challenge. It's exciting because it's a new mission. There's a new focus to your life. I think the challenge is twofold. The biggest challenge, whether you served for 4 years, 20 years, or 40 years, is determining what do you want to do mm-hmm. in what I call Chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first part of the challenge is, you know, maybe for the first time in your adult life,
yep.
you've got to make a decision on what it is that you want to do
right.
instead of having someone else tell you what
yep.
to do.
Yep, absolutely. And not only what you want to do, but what you want to come out of it. You know, what's the result you're trying to create?
Well, that's right. I said it was twofold.
Yep.
It's exciting. It's a new mission, a new focus. So that's the first challenge. But the second part is embrace that opportunity for change. That I think, is how you'll be successful. Anyone, again, whether they served for 4 years or 40 years, mm-hmm. embrace this opportunity to do what you want to do.
Yep. That's excellent. Challenge or accept and embrace. There you go. Good. So tell me what you think about advantages. Person with military service comes out and brings into the civilian world.
I believe very strongly that all of our veterans bring great advantages to the private sector. Maybe it's the nonprofit world again, mm-hmm. wherever it is that they want to serve in Chapter 2. Certainly they bring technical skills, whatever their MOS, their military occupational specialty, or in the Air Force, their Air Force specialty. Whatever those technical skills that the armed forces helped you develop, you bring those skills to the marketplace. But what is more valuable in my mind is the discipline, mm-hmm. the maturity,
yep.
the decision-making, leadership skills, initiative, and planning. I think those six areas are key advantages that a veteran of 4 or 40 years brings to the workforce.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And I will I'll add one. I'll throw in we'll accept accountability. We'll accept responsibility for your actions.
That's a great point, Bill.
So, a little trouble getting it out there, but I got it out there. So good. Well, thank you. You did some preparation. You thought about this. I mean, you knew you were nearing 33 years is commendable. Unbelievable.
I couldn't decide whether or not to make it a career. So.
Yeah. So you just kept thinking about it.
That's right.
So you had to give it some thought. And how did you prepare for the transition?
Just like a military campaign or a military mission, you've got to plan ahead.
Yep.
And that planning time frame may vary. You know, if you serve one enlistment and then want to take those skills that you learned and move into the private sector or move into the corporate world with those skills, your planning may only be 6 months long.
Mm-hmm.
If you're serving 20 years or more, because you have some additional values and strengths that you might be able to bring to the private sector, mm-hmm. that planning may take a little bit longer. It also depends on your family situation. You know, do you still have kids at home? You got to think through those.
Sure.
But I would say a minimum of 6 months, and 2 years is not an unheard of planning timeline
yep.
to make a smooth transition.
Now, when you in a retirement situation such as you had, you can pretty well pick where you want to go, right? Where you choose to retire, or
that is true. In the armed forces, they'll call that final move your home of selection move.
Okay.
So instead of going to Fort X or Air Force Base Y, obviously you now have a choice. That choice, I think, can fall in one of two categories as you look to this transition. Do I want to go to a particular location because I've got family there, or that's where we want our children to go to school, or that's my hometown and I want to return to my hometown, and then look for work in that location?
Mm-hmm.
The other option is I'm going to look for work in this career field, in this business sector, in this nonprofit organization, because that's my desire, and I'll go wherever the work takes me.
And that's part of the preparation, is to do that kind of research so you understand what you're doing. That's well done. Very well thought through. Okay, so, all right, it's been 2 years already?
It has. It's been two quick years.
Again, I
go back to the excitement and the opportunity
yep.
that this gives. The time's gone very quickly.
And you're still excited.
Absolutely.
Yeah, still ready.
I'm still learning.
So, Well, we never stop. So, well, what would you do differently, looking back, you know, from where you are now and you know, having that experience? How would you approach it differently?
To be frank and to take some of my own advice, I would have begun my planning earlier.
Okay.
Because that's such an important lesson. All of us can fall into the trap that I'm on active duty and
yep.
I'm focused on the mission and I don't have time to think about chapter two. That's commendable, and certainly as a leader and a commander mm-hmm. and a supervisor, I wanted my folks working up to the end, but you owe it to yourself to give some time
yep.
to think about chapter two.
Well, and you're going to have some downtime. I mean, we all do. So, yeah. So give it some more downtime thought. Is that the...
Yeah, my key lesson on, you know, how would I do it differently, the first part is I would have begun my planning earlier.
Okay.
So I recommend to your listeners that they begin planning as soon as they think about, gee, you know, am I going to take one more enlistment or mm-hmm. do I want to transition to private sector? It's a conversation that if you're married, you should have with your spouse,
mm-hmm.
a conversation that may start out once a year and then twice a year, and then maybe it's once a month and twice a week.
Yeah, yep.
But it's an open conversation that, again, if you're, in my opinion, lucky enough to be married, it's one that you need to have with your spouse because that transition is for both of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of change. So it all right, so start earlier. Start thinking about it. Think about what you want to do. Think about what you would enjoy. Think about what outcome you want Chapter 2 to have for Chapter 3, right?
That's true, and that falls to the other two lessons as I've looked back over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to beginning to plan earlier, I would have improved my own organizational skills and done more research. Research might be on the businesses that you want to, or the particular companies that mm-hmm. you might be interested in. Maybe it's research on the location where you want to mm-hmm. start a business. If you have any entrepreneurial hopes, learn more about what it means to be in business for yourself. Do some self-assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have the skills to be an entrepreneur, or am I better when someone else is telling me what to do?
Mm-hmm.
That self-assessment is all part of preparing for and planning for Chapter 2.
Well, and I, you know, add a little more thought to that, having been in the transition business for 8 years now. You know, I think don't be afraid to seek some help. You know, there's a lot of help out there. You can get assessment tools for virtually no cost online. You can do an awful lot of research. You can, you know, so there are resources out there that people should avail themselves of. Again, in that downtime and in preparation.
Right. I think that's important, Bill, because what I used to call locker room lawyers don't get that advice and that help on something that is so important as your transition to the private sector from a locker room lawyer. There are skilled folks who can provide sound advice that will be very helpful. So take advantage of those opportunities.
Absolutely. That there's a phrase we use in our business that it's the ambush. And when people start to talk about a career change or going, you know, acquiring their own business, we warn them, beware of the ambush. And that's friends and family who, you know, with many times, well, mostly good intentions, will discourage people from making that change. But sometimes they're also not so good intentions. They're kind of jealous of you know, your initiative or your interest and drive, and so they're going to hold you back because they're afraid. You know, so yeah, step outside your comfort zone, make some new contacts, meet some new friends, network, as Roger's going to talk about here.
Right.
You know, and learn what networking really is. You know? It's not drive-by, you know, throw business cards at each other. It's getting to know people and developing relationship and you know, seek people that where you can help them and they can help you. So.
I would recommend to your listeners, to our veterans, to understand and to be confident in the skills that they do bring to the workplace. Mm-hmm. Even in a challenging environment where, you know, there's not as much hiring as we might hope,
right,
they bring those great skills that we talked about just a few minutes ago. They bring lots of skills to the market space. Now, learn how to translate those skills into something that's important to a company, a business, a franchise, or if you want to step out on your own.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, strengths are transferable, you know, so develop those strengths of, you know, of character and initiative and integrity. You know, skills can be learned, and some skills will transfer, some won't. But, you know, there's a lot of skills that, that can be applied that, that probably aren't obvious, you know, to someone that's kind of, I mean, let's face it, if you're in the military, you're kind of isolated, you know, and you may not have that outreach to understand what the for-profit world or the, I should say, you know, as well, the nonprofit, you know,
right,
organizations are like. So, good. What else would you like to add, you know, before we lose the microphones here?
let me talk for a minute about something you mentioned at the opening.
And please.
That is what's different. What do many veterans claim that they miss from being on active duty, from serving the nation? My view, I think, is similar to what you touched on. You do miss the friendships and the camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
You miss the mission focus.
Sense of duty.
Sense of duty, unless you develop that yourself.
Yep.
Or you're working for a great company that provides that for you. And the sense of service.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would recommend that as folks make this transition, make sure they allocate some time in their life to continuing to serve their community. And there's lots of ways to do that, through your church or synagogue, through veteran service organizations. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Habitat for Humanity. Maybe it's a civic group like Rotary or Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Through those kinds of organizations, you can still get that psychic benefit of truly contributing to your community.
So you don't have to, you know, you might miss those things from active duty, but you can find replacements, you know, for them, you know, by seeking them out. Don't hold yourself off to the side. Get involved, right?
Exactly. Take the initiative that you've got and move out.
Bill, what Glenn is saying is it's called psychic income.
Psychic income.
It's more important than money.
Wow, absolutely.
And I have this photo here of the general with a hammer in his hand and a Boston shirt on. They were just doing a Habitat for Humanity home. And looking at the smile on his face and everybody there, they all got psychic income that day. It was more important than money.
Yes, yes, indeed, indeed. Good, you know. Well, that's a great segue, you know. Roger, you know.
Well, before I take, I want,
you
will, please, Glenn, please share with them your father's uniform hanging and the way that you decided you wanted to fly planes. Please, that's... Please do that.
It's a quick story. My father was of that wonderful World War II generation,
mm-hmm.
served for a number of years. He served in what was then the Army Air Corps and served as a pilot. I'm the youngest child of four, so by the time Glenn came along, Dad had not continued to serve. He left the Army Air Corps, took the GI Bill, got a degree, and went to work in the private sector. But in the basement of our home hung his uniform, just one set of a wonderful uniform. And I asked, you know, a number of years, I'm just a little guy down in the basement getting into trouble, and I look at the uniform and asked Dad what that was all about. And he didn't talk much about his service, but he did talk about how important it was to him to have served the nation. He had the opportunity to fly, and I knew then that I wanted to serve,
mm-hmm.
and if I had the opportunity, I wanted to serve in what is now our United States Air Force, and mm-hmm. if I had the opportunity to be able to fly. And I was able to do that, and my dad pinned my wings on me when I completed flight training and gave me the wings that he wore in the Second World War.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, That's fantastic.
It don't get any better than that, folks. It don't get any better than that.
Well told. Well told. And that's obviously a story that is close to you. So thank you for sharing that. Roger Wise, Jr. Roger.
Yes.
You had a career in the Army, you know, so where Glenn had three stars, you had three stripes.
I had the pleasure of serving the Army Medical Corps, San Antonio, Texas, Brooks Run Medical Center.
Fort Sam Houston.
Mm-hmm. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it actually led to my job.
Yeah, well, and then you had a really successful career working in closely associated industry to
with
the
Abbott Laboratories.
Abbott Laboratories.
I served with the Pediatric Division and Regulatory Affairs, Governmental Relations, and was a military specialist and academic specialist. And but it all went back to Sam Houston, Texas, and I ran into the Abbott people, and they said, "This little country boy from North Carolina, we might want to talk to you." I said, "Yes, sir, as long as you don't send me north of Rocky Mount, North Carolina."
Well, they never did, huh?
They never did.
Well, that's
30 years.
30 years. And I know you're very active in government affairs and in civic organizations, and you're a fundraiser for the Shriners Hospitals. You're a promoter of Junior ROTC. So do you have any spare time? I mean, what do you do for hobbies?
Well, I was talking to a group this morning, and these are younger people. And I told the audience these are what I call the baby generation. I'll soon be 72.
Okay.
And I don't feel 72 because, as Glenn said, I've stayed busy.
Yep.
And it keeps you young, and it also gives you an opportunity to feel like you're paying back.
Yes.
So I told the group, I said, "I've got underwear older than the majority of the people in this room, and I still wear it," because they did not know exactly how old I was. But I enjoy civic responsibility, have and still continue to. I'm very active in my community. I get that civic responsibility because it gives me psychic income.
Psychic income, yes.
And it also makes you feel like that you're paying your civic rent. Well, I like to pay my civic rent.
Yes, yes, I saw that term in your bio. That's a good one. Well, you touched on, was this Junior ROTC this morning or a different organization?
No, this was the University of Phoenix.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
I work very closely with them. We set up a special agreement 2 years ago with the Georgia Department of Defense.
Okay.
And if you're a soldier or a spouse, you get special opportunities through the university online, and I would suggest the veterans, they really should look into that because they've got some real good programs that can help them better themselves through education, and they will do what they call articulate. They will take all your military training and convert it to college credit.
That's fantastic.
At no expense to you. Now, many times that might help you get your foot in the door, or it might be the difference between getting an interview and not getting an interview.
Yes.
And I've talked with a lot of my veteran friends that have never been to college. They've never been to college, and they're afraid to go to college because they feel like, you know, you're born with the fear of the darkness and the fear of the unknown. You outgrow the fear of the darkness, but you never outgrow the fear of the unknown. But with the Phoenix program, and there are others too, by the way, Phoenix, they will take you, and they have somebody that kind of helps guide you through the maze. And it's amazing how once you pass a subject, all of a sudden you say, "I can do it," and you will do it.
So, and that's mostly online learning, right?
It can be. When we did the thing here in Georgia with the Department of Defense, the general at the time, we had the Phoenix people come in, and they have a special division. That's all they do. And the guy's sitting there talking about what they've done at Fort Hood, Texas, and what they've done in Arkansas and California. And I said, "Time out." I said, "You're in Georgia. What are you going to do in Georgia?" Then he started explaining, well, blah, 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 blah. So long story short, 8 months later, with all the legal beagles involved, they finally got the agreement in place.
Okay.
Well, we're sitting there, and the general asked a guy from Phoenix, said, "Okay." He said, "I sign up for a course, and I'm taking a course, and I get activated. You're going to give me my money back?" They said, "Well, no, we don't have to." He looked at him kind of funny. He said, "We're worldwide. So we've got soldiers today, in Afghanistan at the time, Iraq and Afghanistan, taking courses through the University of Phoenix, Georgia campuses online.
That's fantastic. That blows my mind. I mean, I called home one time from Vietnam on a field phone, cranking the wires, you know, and going through patch through a shortwave guy on the West Coast. And I think just technology just, I mean, it's wonderful.
Well, see, this might be part of it, as Glenn said, the getting ready to get out.
Yep.
You might want to go ahead right now and check with the different colleges and find out what training you've had and what it converts to and how many college credit hours you have towards a degree. And that might very well help you decide what you want to do with the rest of your life.
Well, just think about your experience, you know, Army Medical Corps. What could that, you know, if what could that have matriculated, is that the word? That
articulated
over into
sure.
college credit. I mean,
exactly.
Fantastic.
Of course, when I was there, that was not, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
We didn't even have cell
Me
phones.
Too.
We didn't have cell phones.
Did you have phones?
Yeah. Well, we actually had smoke signals.
Yeah. And the flags.
Yeah,
remember the flags?
Yeah, yeah, and flags.
Sorry, Ryan. That was just too easy.
That's why we do what we do.
That's right.
I enjoy him, and he enjoys me.
Well, that's obvious from the two of you. Well, that's a great story about the University of Phoenix, but I know you're also deeply involved in the Junior ROTC program.
Yes, I had the pleasure. They came to me a couple of 3 years ago, and there's a misconception. I've been very active. My whole agenda with Abbott Laboratories, regulatory affairs, government relations was children's health care, which you mentioned. I am the national ambassador for the Shriner Children's Hospitals.
That's
And also education. So I have been very active in education here. Helped set up the North Fulton PTSA, et cetera, et cetera. So the colonel and I got to talking. She says, Roger, we have a problem. A lot of parents look at JROTC as a recruiting tool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's really not. It's a leadership development tool.
Yes.
And Glenn will tell you, as we've spoken to different schools, these kids are in there. Many of them won't go in service. But the 4 years or 3 years or 2 years they spend in JROTC prepares them for college.
Absolutely.
It gets them ready because they're getting self-esteem. They're learning self-control. They're learning achievement. And that's part of the process.
Yes.
So I told the colonel, I said, I'll help you with this. So in my speaking to PTAs, social groups, whatever,
mm-hmm.
I started talking about the JROTC program in Fulton County, today's cadets, tomorrow's leaders.
That's very good.
We dropped the Army Strong, et cetera, et cetera, and we've got our banner says today's cadets, tomorrow's leaders.
Okay.
And I'm pleased to report that the JROTC program in Fulton County is growing considerably now.
Good.
And there's a lot of parents that are supporting it that now they found out it's not a recruiting tool. It's a leadership development tool. And we spoke at Northview High School. And I had a gentleman come up to me in the Capitol 2 weeks ago and said, Mr. Wise, you don't know me, but I know you. I was there the day, Veterans Day, that you and the general spoke. He said, I want to tell you how inspiring it was. And he said, we are now talking with the principal. Because it was a club, they want to make it a full-fledged unit.
Oh, that's great to hear, Roger. I know that was that's been the goal of the organization for quite a while, to transition from club to a school-sponsored organization.
School-sponsored, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, well done. Well done. Now we need to spread that around, to other areas.
With our veterans that are listening, too.
Yes.
I would advise them, they have job fairs. Now, I'm sure that once you get out, you don't have that fraternity you had or that family you had.
Mm-hmm.
But teach yourself to get out of that comfort zone.
Yep.
Go to the job fairs and take your resumes and go table to table, shaking hands, introducing yourself. Get yourself somewhat a prepared short statement, not a documentation, short statement on this is what I did when I was on active duty. And these are the skills I have, and this is what I can do for you if given an opportunity.
Yep.
And you'll be surprised because there's a lot of need now, a lot of need for technical jobs that you can be trained to do. And you look somebody, look them eyeball to eyeball. Don't look down. Don't look around. Look them eyeball to eyeball. Don't be cocky, but be self-confident.
Right.
When you present yourself. and go dressed appropriately. Go dressed appropriately and present yourself, and you'll be surprised because there are a lot of jobs out there right now
that
we don't have people to fill.
There are. There's jobs that they don't have. You know, it's like the old square peg in a square hole. They're missing the square peg. You know, so.
Yes.
But a lot of people can be shaped into that with they've got base set of skills and the motivation and initiative to step forward and tell them what they can accomplish.
Be prepared, as Glenn said.
Yep.
To tell them what you can bring to the table, what you can do, and don't be ashamed to say, if you will give me an opportunity, I will make you proud.
Well, that's called asking for the order, isn't it? In the sales world, right?
You ain't gonna get it if you don't ask.
That's right. That's right. So, well said. Well said. And also, you're involved with the American Legion post in Alpharetta, Georgia.
We have a very, very unique post in Alpharetta. It's quite large. We have a memorial up there, so anybody that's coming through North Fulton, I would suggest you go over. The American Legion post is right down. You can't miss it. We've got two or three ballparks and whatever. But park your car and go through our memorial. We've got a Huey helicopter. Now, we got that through the Department of Defense. And we put that on a pole. We went back and traced the serial number of the Huey helicopter and found out that the waist gunner in that helicopter was a Congressional Medal of Honor winner.
Wow.
So that's dedicated to Vietnam. We just got a Sabre jet, and we're going to put that up for the Korean area.
Yes.
We got a 50 caliber deck gun, Second World War, and we got a Sherman tank.
Sherman tank. Okay.
All of that, and when we dedicated it, I'm a Mason. And our senior master mason is a World War II vet. He's about 5'7" or 5'6". He was a Marine, and once a Marine, always a
That's
Marine.
That's right. There's no ex-Marine.
So
That's
he
right.
was standing up behind the tank when we had the podium. The mayor had spoken and others, and he got up and said, "Well, I want to tell you," and he turned around and tapped the tank. Said, "That thing saved my life." He said, my platoon was tied down, and everybody had been shot. And said, "I was trying to get out of the field of fire, and they wouldn't let me out, so they had me tied down. I heard a chug, 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 chug. And here comes this tank." And they stopped, dropped the belly, said, "You know, this thing has a thing in the bottom, opens up." He said, they dropped it, said, "Get in." He said, "I got in," and we started backing out of the field of fire, chug, 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 chug. All of a sudden, bam, we was hit, and the track went off. The guy said, "Drop the thing." I said, "Get out." He said, "Hell, I just got in." He said, "No, you got to get out. This thing's getting ready to blow." But he said it gave us enough field of fire to get back to safety. But you take someone that you've had that's been, especially the Rotary Club, we do the Angel Flights every year, and we take World War II. I'm going to start crying. Take World War II vets to Washington, D.C. It's one of the most wonderful experiences you'll ever get because they're dying at a huge rate.
Yep.
But having the opportunity to have Joe Suttles speak to our dedication, and he doesn't talk much, but to sit down and just kind of listen to him, it makes you proud to be an American.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I'll stay off that because
We have a very active veterans service area there. We deal quite closely with the VA hospital over in Decatur, and many times the veterans, they have paperwork needs.
Yes,
and we have guys. They're all volunteers. They're all veterans themselves, but they've been doing it long enough. They're highly specialized. So if somebody has some problems, they can contact the American Legion Post 201 in Alpharetta and probably get some help.
Help getting through the VA administration.
Maze.
Yes. Thank you. Good. I know you also, you've touched on it a bit, but I know near and dear to your heart is the political process. So, veterans coming out, civic responsibility, civic involvement.
Contact your state representative or your state senator or your congressman and let them know that you're a veteran and you've had expertise because they're constantly looking for resource people. But you got to be credible now. You got to be credible.
Okay.
And don't blow your own horn that, you know, I mean, I was the last one standing at the Alamo and all that type stuff. But just basically let them know that you've had experience, and if you can help them in any way, you're glad to. That doesn't mean you have to get involved in their campaign. That doesn't mean that you've got to be Democrat, Republican, whatever. Mm-hmm. It just means that you've got expertise that they can use. And many times doing that will help you network.
Absolutely.
Because they have events, and if you have been helping them and advising them and giving them resources, see, you might very well have served someplace, mm-hmm. and they've got an issue they need some help with. And you can say, you know, I served in Fort Jackson and so-and-so, so-and-so, and I remember Sergeant or Colonel or whatever so-and-so, and maybe they could give us an answer on this. Because the news media reports things and sometimes sensationalizes it.
No.
Yes. And when you get through, you actually get where the boots hit the ground.
That's right.
That's a much better thing from a political standpoint than something they've heard. And it gives them more credibility because they can say, I have investigated this.
I've been there, yeah.
I have talked with someone who was actually there, mm-hmm. and this is really what happened.
Yep. That is powerful. And you mentioned networking. That is some of the best networking advice I've ever heard. I mean, get involved with the political contacts, you know, because who they know, I mean, and who knows them, that can lead people to employment. That can lead people to new careers. That can lead people all over the place. So, and it's kind of pay it back, pay it forward. Okay.
You let them know that, yep. I was proud to have had the opportunity to serve the United States of America. And I'm still proud to have the opportunity to serve the United States of America.
I still hear that band music.
But I'm now doing it in a different way. And I want to give back. And if I can help you, this is what you're telling them. If I can help you in any way, please don't hesitate to call on me.
Yep.
And I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know some sharp knives.
Yep.
And I might be able to help guide you or your research people in the right direction. So when you get ready to speak, you're speaking fact and not fiction.
Absolutely. That's just excellent.
Where do you find these guys? You always find such great guests.
I just network, you know, so we stick together. So, well, Roger, you know, what else would you like to add today? I mean, this has been a wonderful conversation with you folks.
Basically, keep it KISS, the KISS method.
Keep it simple, stupid.
And, you know, that's what it's all about. Don't sensationalize. Just be who you are. Be mm-hmm. yourself. And practice. Sit down in front of the mirror,
yep.
and practice interviewing and look that person, my granddaddy. I'm a country boy, and my granddaddy had what he called a man in the mirror theory.
Yep.
Said, boy, if you get up in the morning and you look that guy in the mirror eyeball to eyeball, it's going to be a good day. But if you're looking down or up or sideways, you got problems. So sit down and practice meeting people. Practice interviewing. And look that guy in the mirror eyeball to eyeball, or that girl eyeball to eyeball, and it'll help you then when you get ready and you have that short mm-hmm. opportunity to make your best statement, to put your best foot forward, to ask them to dance.
They'll
want to dance with you.
You'll be ready. That's right. I used to always advise my clients in outplacement to practice interviewing with their spouse, because if you can tell your story to your spouse, you know, evenly and straightforward, you can tell it to anybody. You know, so that's more good advice. Thank you very much.
Well, you got vets that are already working.
Yes.
Keep that in mind.
They're looking for other veterans to hire.
They're looking for other veterans to hire.
Yep.
And, you know, don't be afraid if you're already a vet that's working to volunteer to sit down with vets and help them help themselves.
If you can't offer a job, you can offer advice and coaching and be a mentor, you know. So that's very valuable. So make yourself known and just reach out. So thank you very much, Roger.
It's my pleasure.
It was terrific. Glenn, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
To jump on something that Roger said, it would be an encouragement to our veterans who are beginning this transition process, maybe thinking about it. The encouragement is know that you bring skills to the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
The other is if being an entrepreneur and starting your own business isn't your chapter two, maybe that's chapter three or four, know that there are a lot of vet-friendly companies.
Yes.
There are many right here in Georgia, many that have stated claims of how many veterans are going to hire, some part-time, some full-time. There are veterans organizations into which you can network and you can get great mm-hmm. advice from guys and gals who have walked this road maybe a year ahead of you, maybe a few months ahead of you, or a couple of years, but they can give you advice.
Yes.
So develop that and understand that you've got great confidence and you bring a lot to the marketplace.
Absolutely.
And don't be afraid to get in, and they might say right now, we can use you over here. Don't feel that's beneath me.
Right.
Get in, get your foot in the door, and prove yourself.
And then go up, yep.
Because some, I think people, they say, hell, if I can't start as president of the company, I don't want to be part of the company. But you've got to start somewhere.
Yes.
You've got to start somewhere. And again, and what Glenn said, start your phase out when you're thinking about getting out. For the last year or so, travel a little bit with your spouse or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and look around, decide kind of where you want to go. Then actually, while you're still on active duty and you're there on vacation or you're visiting family and friends, start putting some feelers out and say, I'm thinking about getting out.
Yes.
I'm thinking about getting out. Let that be part of your pre-program. I'm thinking about getting out. And when I get out, I'll have these expertise. Could you use those, or do you know somebody could use
mm-hmm.
those?
Mm-hmm.
And let that be part of your phasing out process.
Right. Right. Part of the Start Early program.
Yeah. The yeah. planning and preparation is
Absolutely.
Really important.
Very good. Very good. Kevin, how are we doing?
We're doing great. Another great show in the bag.
Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. I owe that to these two gentlemen here. It's been wonderful. So I'd like to talk about the International Franchise Association. It describes a frontrepreneur as one possessing the desire to become a business owner without reinventing the wheel. The National Veteran-Owned Business Association defines a veteranpreneur as a military veteran who organizes and manages a business. Our mission here at From Boots to Biz Radio is to help create more veteran entrepreneurs by providing information, education about the many choices in business ownership and franchising. If we help start more small businesses, we will create more employment opportunities for veterans. So, please check the From Boots to Biz Radio homepage on the Business Radio X website. We have a webinar schedule there. Next one coming up will be next week in April, and then we'll add May and June very shortly. My name is Bill Williams. I'm your host of From Boots to Biz Radio. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me directly at bwilliams@4axiom.com. That's bwilliams@4axiom.com. So until next week, carry on.